What Barclay and Watson seem to be saying or addressing, as I mentioned last week, is the difficulty that they see in the church, namely that in the church, in this Western church, it is in decline. And it is possible rooted in the fact that there is a lack of true discipleship as Jesus understood it to be. We then asked ourselves, what did it mean to follow Jesus? And we said this, the thing to grasp is that Jewish disciples did not do their learning in classroom. The rabbinical model of discipleship which Jesus used was such that the teaching was not done in the classroom. The teaching was done in real life situations. And I mentioned that a follower of Jesus would be like following the rabbi. They would follow their rabbi from place to place, watching carefully what they did and sharing closely in his work as he directed them. So they were essentially apprentices who learned their discipleship on the job. And therefore, we saw last week that a disciple of Jesus was somebody who followed their master, who listened carefully to their master. And as Jesus walked along, he might have said, oh, look at that tree. It's not bearing fruit. And he would give them a lesson, a spiritual lesson on that very thing. Or he would go along and he would see maybe a farmer in the field. And he would begin to talk about sowing seed or weeds and wheat in the same field being harvested together on the day of judgment. So it was on the go that they learned. And we heard that a common phrase to use was a disciple was one who would walk in the dust of their rabbi. To walk in the dust of your rabbi to walk in the dust of your rabbi was to be so closely walking with your rabbi that the dust from his sandals kicked off onto you. And by the end of the day, you would be covered in the dust of your rabbi. So walking so closely to him. And there will be, we will look at that later on in our sermon series about, are we walking in the dust? Listen to me. Are you walking so close to Jesus that his dust is being kicked up right onto you, onto your legs? And we'll look at what does that mean to walk so close to Jesus that we are like walking in the dust of our rabbi. And so we said that to be a disciple in Jesus' day was to learn by listening, by watching, by copying, and by doing what your master did. You walk so close that the dust of your master's sandals would be kicked up onto you, and you would be covered by your master's dust. And then I suggested to you that there is a phrase going about that is very much a great phrase to describe what being a disciple means. And I have ordered something for some of you. It costs you a pound, because I want to make a profit. And every church should have profits. Did you get that? Oh, you're slow. Every church should have prophets and teachers. Anybody? Ah, forget it. So, what is that phrase? It's this. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? WWJD. Has anybody got a what would Jesus do bracelet on? Right, Amy? Anybody else? Yeah, good. Yeah, you got one at the back there. And in fact, what would Jesus do is a great expression of a true disciple. So if we go back to Barclay and Watson, what they are saying is actually, yes, you could be a Christian and say you believe in God, but you don't do what Jesus would do. You do your own thing. That's not being a disciple. So in every situation, we said last week, we asked the question, what would Jesus do? I'm here in the office and this person is really having a go at me. What would Jesus do? I'm in the family And I'm having a rather challenging time with members of my family. And I am tempted to be angry and to lash out. What would Jesus do? I look in my bank book and I see how much money I've got. And I'm wondering, should I give more? Should I give less to the work of the kingdom? What would Jesus do? You're always asking, what would Jesus do? And you are meant to do it. You are meant to do it, and I am meant to do it. This is what's got to be at the heart of discipleship. Not what I want, not what my kids want, not about the future of anybody else, but what would Jesus do? Would Jesus do this? And if the answer is in your conscience, no, you don't do it. And if it is yes, then you must do it. See, that's radical. I know you don't like it. I can see you're all sitting there. You don't like this. I don't like it any more than you like it. But it's a radical challenge for us. We need to escape from the Western understanding of what a Christian is and go back to the Judaic, Jesus, rabbinical idea of what a rabbi or what a disciple is. And I'm hoping our series will provide that. So the best disciple is a dead one. And I know when you were looking at your finger, what is he on about? The best disciple is a dead one. Let me unpack it for you, because the clue, if you like, the clue is in what we have just heard Jesus saying that Anne read to us. It is true, I think, of what Peter Morden has written a wonderful book called The Message of Discipleship. And he said, you know, the best disciple is a dead one. We tend to domesticate some of the more challenging words of Jesus. This is what he said, and I think he's right. We tend to domesticate the strong challenges of Jesus by explaining away why it is not relevant for Ian Ferguson today to tithe his money to the Lord's work. We explain it away. We explain it away about why it's okay for Ian Ferguson not to forgive somebody because they don't understand how hard it was for him or you or me. We explain it away. And that is what's happened to the church today, I believe. We have explained it away. We have compromised on the direct instructions of the Master, so we can't complain when things don't work right or the church is dying. So, what did Jesus say? In Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38, he says this. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Here Jesus says three important things regarding what it means to be a disciple of his. Therefore, what it means to be a Christian. You must deny yourself. You and I must take up our cross. And you and I must follow him. You will not get Jesus asking people to simply sign a commitment card or just to put their hand up. Yeah, I want to become a Christian. Yeah, that's a false gospel. Just putting your hand up. If you put your hand up, you say, I want to come and deny myself, take up my cross, and I want to follow Jesus. Can I just get something off my chest here for a wee minute? I've heard many times Christian people say, to people who are ill or who are sick, that is your cross to bear. That is your cross to bear. That is a false gospel. That is not true. When Jesus was talking about taking up your cross, he was not talking about sickness, illness, or anything else. That somehow Jesus would give you a cross of illness. A cross of... No. What the cross is about is that I am dying. Me, myself. And so we need to be very careful when we're saying to people, you know, who are in great pain, because I don't recognize that God who says, oh, God's given you that. It's your cross to bear. Never, never, never. I say never. That is not what God does. Whatever the reasons for sickness and illness in the world, it is not God who causes it or gives it. So I had a wee rant there. I need to get that off. Okay. He goes on. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Now this is countercultural. The culture we live in, and that also infects every area of society, is a me culture. Me first, my rights, my needs, my life. But Jesus says something quite different. It's laying your life down. It's instead of me, it's him. Instead of my rights, it's his lordship. Instead of me first, he is first. It's counter-cultural. So, what is a disciple? Why is it that a dead disciple is the best disciple? I think, again, we mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran pastor during the Second World War. He was part of the resistance movement against Hitler. And he wrote a wonderful book called The Cost of Discipleship. The cost, and he was a 20th century martyr. Bonhoeffer wrote this. When Christ calls a man or woman, he bids him come and die. When Christ calls a man or woman, he bids him or her come and die. Now, for some people like Bonhoeffer, that was literally death. But he was saying, come and follow me. Come and die. So I want to just for a few minutes unpack that. Because St. Paul had some interesting things to say about what it means to take up your cross. Paul reminds us that a disciple is someone who has changed the old clothes of his old life for the new clothes of his salvation. This is what he says in Colossians 3 and verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sight on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Paul is unpacking this metaphor of dying and living. He goes on to say this, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. It's verse 5. He goes on to say, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. When Paul says, put to death, the verb he uses is a very, very strong Greek verb. And it's not about simply suppressing those desires or feelings. The force is actually expressed like exterminate. Push you back to Doctor Who, doesn't it, in the Daleks. Exterminate. That's what he says. Exterminate. Put to death those things. He goes on to say, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, he says in verse 7. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. We said last week, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who has dropped everything to follow him. Peter, James, come and follow me. They drop their nets and immediately they follow him. A disciple is someone who has said no to the old life and yes to the new. He puts it in this metaphor. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with the clothes of Christ. You see, a disciple is someone who's had a smelly, stinking coat on. that represents their filthy sin of the old life. All their horribleness, their sexual impurity, their swearing, their unlovingness, their unkindness, their bitterness, all this sin. And it's all in this coat. And we come to Christ with our filthy rags. And when we become a disciple of Jesus, he takes off this coat of filth. And he says, clothe yourself in the new coat of his righteousness. You're wearing his coat now. That's what a disciple is. But there is a sense in which we do this daily. We actually die to self daily. That is what a disciple is like. Because being a disciple, coming to Jesus, doesn't mean that we become perfect. It doesn't mean we become sinless. What it does mean is that we have a righteousness that is not of our own, but is of Jesus. And that is what makes us acceptable to God. Not our own goodness, but his goodness, his righteousness. And so the disciple is someone who dies to that old life day over and day over, because the enemy is tempting you to put on that old stuff, put on that old stuff. And he says, no, no, no. A disciple is someone who puts on Christ. He goes on, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and its all its wickedness. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and as you learn to become like him. So here is the metaphor again, where he says, strip off that old life. So when we go back to Watson and Barclay and they're shouting at us about what is a Christian and what isn't a Christian is somebody who doesn't just go to church, although that's important because of the bouquet of flowers, the fellowship. He's not just somebody, you know, that does good stuff, which you hope that a Christian would do. A Christian disciple is somebody who has taken off the old life and put on the new life of Christ and who daily dies to their self. A Christian who is somebody who puts Jesus first rather than themselves first. Here is verse 12, and we're coming to land. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So this is what Paul says. You have to clothe yourself. So I remember learning many years ago, and somebody suggested that it's a good thing for a Christian to put on the armor of God every morning and do it, as it were, metaphorically. Put the shoes of salvation, get on your breastplate of righteousness, put it on, get the belt on. And as you're being dressed in the morning, you think of yourself not only being dressed with your natural clothes, but clothing yourself with the spiritual armor of God. That's really good. But it also is every morning, say, Lord, today I want to clothe myself in your clothing. I want to do that. I want to strip myself of the stuff of the old life, and I want to wear the clothes of the new life. Because in essence, a disciple not only walks in the dust of the master, a disciple wears the clothes of the master. And this is something so we hopefully learn today, that a disciple is not one, not just one who learns, but a disciple is one who dies daily to Christ. This is what Paul taught. This is how Jesus understood when he said, take up your cross and follow me. When you come to me, you know, we're not promising an easy life. We're not promising singing and dancing all the way. He's actually promising a cross of which there is great joy and great freedom, but it's still a cross where we must die to those things that are of the old life and put on those things of the new life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Jesus, you have called us to take up our cross and follow you. This is a hard saying, Lord, but it comes from your lips. We ask you to help us to put on that new clothing of the new life each day, to say no to the old rags we once wore. And Father, we pray that you would help us to root out the things that are not pleasing to you and put on the things that you prize greatly and cherish. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit this week will help us to understand more what it means to take up our cross and follow you. Amen.